understand what God is saying, because God is going to reveal, enlighten, and illuminate our hearts and minds to know this kind of knowledge. Now, listen to me. The growth in grace and knowledge is connected to something. What should I say to someone? It's not just knowledge. It's not just information. As D.L. Moody said, the Bible was not written for our information, but for our transformation. So this grace and knowledge is connected to an object, and that object is Jesus. It's a person. And the apostle uses this Greek word gnosis in 2 Peter 1. If you look at 2 Peter 1, verse 2, he uses the same word. And he says in his introduction, in his greeting, he says, in verse 2, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the what? Knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Beloved, that is a spiritual impartation there. Look at verse 8 of the same chapter. After he talked about adding to our faith these spiritual qualities, he said in verse 8, for if these qualities, you know, virtue, knowledge, self-control, godliness, brotherly love, and love, if these qualities are yours, if the fruit of the Spirit is growing and blossoming in your life, and you're increasing in these qualities, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the what? Gnosis. The knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, believers are to grow in the sphere of God's saving and sustaining grace. But that growth is in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And those, the name Jesus and the titles of Lord and Christ just speaks to his divinity, who he is, what he has accomplished. That's why it's the knowledge, and it is the knowledge of the person and the redeeming actions and works of Jesus on our behalf. That must be revealed to you. Now, we already have the revelation, it's written, but that don't mean you understand. And that understanding does not come just because you're smart. That understanding comes because the Spirit of grace imparts understanding in the heart that's open to his word. Are you with me this morning? So believers are to grow, keep on growing, continuously grow in the sphere of God's saving and sustaining grace. Romans 3:24 says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Grace is always free. You can't work for this. You can't toil and labor for this. You can't be your best and get this. You can't do your best and achieve this. This must be given, bestowed, bequeathed, gifted to you by the grace of God. Oh, I love this. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So let this truth live in your minds. You know, we talk about don't allow certain people to live, you know, rent-free in your mind. Let this live in your mind. Let this take up residence in your mind and your heart. Let this run through your mind and be a constant partner in your mind. Because this truth is grace imparted. It's counterintuitive, grace is. Grace does out of grace. It doesn't do because of you. It doesn't do because you've been good. You tell our kids, now, if you fix your bedroom, your teeth, if you pick up your clothes, if you do this,
Christ what do based upon his work. And verse 5 says, and to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Oh, that's the grace of God through faith in Christ. That's revealed knowledge. But it must be imparted to receive it. Grace is not a wage to be earned. Grace cannot be earned. The moment you charge grace, you cancel grace. You insult the grace giver. And Martin Luther states, trying to merit grace by preceding works, therefore, is trying to placate God with sins, which is nothing but heaping sins upon sins, making fun of God and provoking his wrath, because you're trying to add to his grace your human, sinful, fallen works. Those works could be good. Those works could be magnanimous, but they're sin before a gracious God. When you try to add your goodness to the cross of Christ to make oneself acceptable to God. Oh, this is counterintuitive, isn't it? This is against the grain of the human being. But not only is grace free, but grace is apart from works. As a means, listen to me, as a means of being justified before a holy God. Salvation is not based on works righteousness. It is based on the righteous works of Christ. And receiving that by faith places you in that grace position, like Romans 5 talks about. Romans 5, in this grace in which we now stand. And the access we have to God through Jesus Christ, it places you in a position of grace, back to the soil of grace, where you can grow and blossom in good works. But it's not the basis of getting into grace. It's not the entrance into a relationship with God. It is God's grace through faith in Christ alone, apart from what anything you can do. And that's not a license to sin. Romans 6 tells us, how shall we continue in sin that grace may abide? God forbid that we should continue to sin. We've been set free from the power of sin through grace. So, salvation is not based on works righteousness, performance, doing your best, trying a little harder. It's based on the righteous and redeeming works of Christ. Look at Romans chapter 10 with me. Romans chapter 10. More revelation to me. Romans 10, 1 through 3. Brothers, sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them, Israel, his brother, his nation, is that they may be what? Saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to what? Now, what kind of knowledge do you think that is? Because they had a lot of knowledge. It wasn't the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They had the knowledge of the law. They did not have the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so he says in verse 3, for being what? Ignorant, naive, unaware of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own righteousness, they did not submit to God's righteousness. What is God's righteousness? Verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Says, but if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. So look what God is doing for us through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. He's setting us free from self-effort, self-empowerment, and personal Galatians 3, he says to them again in verse 1 and 3. He said, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who has cast a spell on you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? See, the legalists were attacking the gospel of grace as insufficient to make one righteous and acceptable before God. The church was being driven back to the old operating system of the Mosaic Law. And Paul reveals to us, I want you to see this, this is so beautiful, in 2 Corinthians 3, man, this verse is so power-packed with truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. In verse 1 through 2, 1 through 5, I should say, Paul introduced himself and the other apostles as ministers of a new covenant. Oh, it's right there. When you have time, read it at home. I'm going to jump down to verse 6. He says, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant? Not of the letter, but of what? The Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. We're talking about the Spirit of grace. Now, what is this letter that kills? Let me let you know now, it's not the letters of Paul. It's right there in verse 7. Now that the ministry of death carved in letters on stone, you know what it is, huh? It's the law. It's Mount Sinai. It's not Mount Calvary. Came with such glory. That law came with glory. That the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face, because Moses' face was glowing, but the glow was fading. And they covered his face so that the Israelites wouldn't see the fading glory. Because that fading glory communicated, this is not permanent. This is temporary. But they didn't want the people to see the temporariness of the law. But Paul reveals by the Holy Spirit that they couldn't gaze on Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to what? An end. Will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? A new covenant. For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, called the law, the ministry of righteousness, called grace, the new covenant, must far exceed the glory of the former. You see that? The law, beloved, and its glory brought death and condemnation. It's not even designed to help you out. It's designed to make you run to the throne of grace. That's what it was designed to do. It was designed to show you how short you have fallen from the three-time holy God. And there's nothing in your religiosity that can draw you to the very heart of God. It was grace and grace alone that did that. So God, being gracious, set up a Levitical priesthood and a sacrificial system. Temporary. It was only to deal with temporary issues. But it never made the people totally complete until Jesus did. Because his ministry is a ministry of righteousness. It's a ministry of grace. It's the new covenant called the gospel. It far exceeds the glory of the law. So the old operational system says do or die. That's what it says. If anybody trying to live by it, that's what's going to happen. They're going to die. Because it can't give you life. But the new operational system says done. So live. You see, it's the power of his grace that enables us to live to the glory of God through faith in his Son. See, the old system of do your best, try harder, cross all your T's and dot all your I's, spiritually speaking, can't fix you even if you did. Still can't fix you. It can only condemn you. That's why Paul says in Romans 8:1, therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of what? Sin and death. Listen. It's not a good is grace. You were selected is grace. You were predestined is grace. It tells you that you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's grace. It tells you that the gospel was preached to you and you realize you needed that gospel and you repent and believe. That's grace. Don't you know your confession and repentance and faith is all of grace and not of you? Grace is comprehensive. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, grace is sufficient for every good work. So every good work they do is empowered by grace. Grace touches